It's coming up on 10 minutes after 6 on this Tuesday morning from WSMI, WSMI FM 106. Time now for part one of the Morning Ag Show, brought to you by your John Deere dealer, the Sloan Implement Company. Now with part one of the Morning Ag Show, we join WSMI Ag Director Gabe Osborne.
Thank you, Randy, and good morning. Starting off in grain futures from the Chicago Board of Trade from the close Monday, July corn was up 5 3/4 to 389. September corn finished at 396 3/4, up 6 1/4. And December corn finished at 404 1/2, up 6 1/4. Soybeans for July were at 831 3/4, up 10. August beans were at 838 1/2, up 10 1/4. And September soybeans were to 845, also up 10 1/4. Moving on to wheat, July wheat was to 478 1/4, up 13 1/4. September wheat was to 485 1/4, up 14. And December wheat was to 497 3/4, up 13 1/2. Moving on to soybean meal for July was to $297.30 per ton, up $3. August soybean meal was to $299 per ton, also up $3. And September bean meal was to $300.90, up $3. Moving on to soybean oil, July soybean oil was to $27.50, up 28 cents. August bean oil was to $27.63, also up 28 cents. And September bean oil was to $27.77, up 29 cents. Now we'll turn it over to the Illinois Department of Agriculture in Springfield for Monday's Cash Grain Report.
This is Monday's reported grain price trends prepared by the Illinois Department of Agriculture. Illinois country grain prices were higher on Monday afternoon on another Monday weather market. In northern and western Illinois country, grain dealers quoted shell corn bids up 6 cents, 344 to 371. Soybean bids were 11 to 12 higher at 747 to 789. In central Illinois country, grain dealers quoted shell corn bids up 6 cents at 356 to 374. Soybean bids were 9 to 15 higher at 763 to $8. In the southern part of the state, shell corn bids were up 5 to 7 at 351 to 383. Soybean bids were 12 to 15 higher at 772 to 814. Illinois soybean processor cash soybean bids were 7 to 10 cents higher at $8 to 805. Basis is unchanged to down 3 at 3200 to 2700 of July. High pro soybean meal on a truck basis is offered at 276.30 to 289.30, up $3 with basis steady at 2100 to 8 under the July. Illinois corn processor cash corn bids were 6 cents higher at 371 to 390, with basis unchanged at 1800 to 1 over the July. Illinois river barge loading elevators quoted a producer corn bid 6 to 8 cents higher at 371 to 377. Basis was steadied up to at 1800 to 12 under the July. Soybeans ended up 9 to 10 cents at 797 to 802, with basis unchanged to down 1 at 3500 to 30 under the July. New crop wheat prices were 13 cents higher at 448 to 471, with basis steady at 30 under to 7 under the July. East St. Louis barge loading terminal elevators placed their producer corn bids 4 to 6 cents higher at 399 to 401. These elevators raised their soybean prices 10 cents, quotations at 829 to 830. Soft wheat closed up 13 cents at 508 to 511, and Milo ended today 6 cents higher at 413 to 414. Contract bids producers for October and November delivery corn in the northern part of the state at 345 to 374, soybeans at 772 to 803. And in the central part of the state, corn for October and November delivery at 362 to 379, soybeans at 789 to 815. In the southern part of the state, corn for October and November delivery at 343 to 380, soybeans at 781 to 812. And June-July wheat at 453 to 496. That concludes our report. This is David Humphreys with the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Moving on to livestock from Monday's close on the Chicago Board of Trade. June live cattle were at 111.35, up 7. August live cattle were at 108.52, down 40. And October live cattle were at 108.50, also down 40. Feeder cattle for May were to 134.15, down 37. August feeders were to 144.77, down 72. And September feeder cattle were to 145.87, losing 82 cents. Lean hogs for June were down 62 cents to 91.75. July lean hogs remained steady at $93, and August lean hogs were up 50 cents to $94.45. Now we'll turn it over to the Illinois Department of Agriculture in Springfield for Tuesday's Cash Livestock Report.
This is the Illinois Department of Agriculture with Monday Afternoon Livestock Report. Starting with the National Daily Direct Hog Report, calculations for 200-pound pork carcass traded 23 cents lower, in a range of $72 to $83, with a weighted average carcass price of $80.92. From the Illinois Direct Sow Port, slaughter sow prices were $1 to $2 lower, with moderate demand for moderate offerings. U.S. 1 and 3 grade sows under 400 pounds traded $48 to $54, 4 to 5 weighted $50 to $56, 5 to 6 weighted $54 to $60, and over 600 pounds $56 to $63. On the Illinois Direct Hog Trade, prices of barrels and gilts country buying points were steady, with moderate demand for moderate offerings ranging from $52 to $58. Receipts for Illinois barrels and gilts have totaled $18,660. In the direct cattle trade, in the National Daily Direct Slaughter Cattle Report, choice steers and live basis trade at $115 to $117. And on a dress basis at $186 to $187. Choice heifers and live basis trade at $115 to $118. And on a dress basis at $186. From the National Daily Pork Plant Port, trading for retail and processing cuts was established with 258 loads traded. Calculations for a 200-pound pork carcass is $86.53, which is $1.26 higher. From the National Box Beef Cutout Port, values for choice and select beef carcasses were trading mixed. Choice carcasses were $221.45, which is $1.14 higher, while select carcasses are $208.03, which is 25 cents lower. For the estimated daily slaughter under federal inspection, cattle slaughter was estimated 120,000 compared to 121,000 last week and 119,000 one year ago. Hog slaughter was estimated 472,000 compared to 461,000 last week and 458,000 one year ago. That concludes our livestock report. This is David Humphreys with the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
And overnight, WSMI weather watchers Bill Huebner of Brighton and Robin Schroeder of Jerseyville, 7/10 of an inch of rain, 6/10 of an inch recorded by Gary Brown of Chesterfield, 8/10 of an inch recorded by the Lang family of Coffeen, 4/10 of an inch here at the Weather Center. Part two of the Morning Ag Show brought to you this morning by the CHS Service Center, farmer-owned with global connections, by the Litchfield National Bank, and by Seavers Equipment of Hamel, Hillsboro, Greenfield, Carlinville, Auburn, and Jerseyville. And once again, we join WSMI Ag Director Gabe Osborne.
Thank you, Randy. The United States announced Friday afternoon that they have reached an agreement with Canada and Mexico to remove the Section 232 tariffs for steel and aluminum imports from those countries. Mexico and Canada also agreed on the removal of all retaliatory tariffs imposed on American goods by those countries. Tricia Braid is with the Illinois Corn Growers Association, and I had a chance to get her thoughts about the positive impacts this will have on Illinois producers.
You're right on the money. So the president announced late last week his intention to lift those Section 232 tariffs on steel and aluminum for Mexico and Canada. And that was something that we and others in the agricultural industry have been asking for, because what we've heard from others involved in agriculture is that those tariffs really need to come off, because they've hit in retaliatory fashion some of our important partners in agriculture. So the pork industry, for example, got hit back from Mexico, and that impacts corn demand. Also, the steel and aluminum that goes into manufacturing buildings and implements and all of that was really hurting our other allied industries. So it was good to see that announcement from the president. Canada has already come back with their plan to remove their retaliatory tariffs. Mexico won't be far behind. But more broadly, this is one of those barriers that we've been hearing from members of Congress that had to happen before we all could move forward with the U.S.-Mexico-Canada agreement. That's the new NAFTA. So to get USMCA in the works, Congress has had it now for a few weeks, and they've been able to review it. But this lifting of those Section 232 tariffs was one of those hurdles that we had to get beyond before we could move forward. So this is really seeing some sunlight here in this perfect storm that our producers are facing.
And it would also be a perfect kind of segue with the retaliatory tariffs we've had back from China. And we thought, we've got three countries that are giving us some retaliatory tariffs. So now that we've lifted it on Mexico and Canada, hopefully some things can start to get moving.
Yeah, that issue with China is just ongoing and super complicated, of course. And hopefully if the president is in this mood, really this frame of mind to start moving things forward, maybe that will reciprocate over into the China talks. I'm not certain that that's going to work this way. I know that part of the Section 232 on Mexico and Canada had to do with letters of understanding about how Chinese steel and aluminum won't be able to come through Mexico and Canada and end up here kind of in a roundabout fashion. So that's still on the president's mind for sure, but we all understand how important wrapping up these trade issues are for our farmers.
And after a year of just rain, that's about the easiest way to put it, after so much rain has fallen and planting is delayed and a few other things like that, it just seems like issue after issue just comes back to impact the farmer.
That's right. So many things are out of the control of the farmers right now. You know, you can't change the weather forecast. You can't change what's happening in Washington and internationally with these trade agreements. So it's really put a lot of pressure and feelings of powerlessness out there in the countryside. So we'd like to see that turn for everybody as well. And one of the things the Illinois Corn Growers Association would like to do would be to provide those opportunities for farmers to give that feedback. We recently sent out an opportunity for our members to contact the White House and the USDA to tell them how trade is impacting them. So right now that's what we can do is facilitate those conversations and help return some of that personal agency back to the farmers out in the countryside.
And again, that was Tricia Braid with the Illinois Corn Growers Association. And in other international news, Ag Secretary Sonny Perdue says the United States and Japan have agreed on new terms and conditions that eliminate Japan's long-standing restrictions on U.S. beef exports. That paves the way for expanded sales to the United States' top global beef market. Last week, Perdue met on the sidelines of a G20 agricultural ministerial meeting in Japan with government officials. Everyone in attendance affirmed the importance of science-based trade rules. The new terms take effect immediately, allowing U.S. products from all cattle, regardless of age, to enter Japan for the first time since 2003. The U.S. Meat Export Federation is pleased with the new news, saying this is a major step forward in putting BSE in the rearview mirror. USDA estimates that this expanded access could increase UF beef and the beef product exports to Japan by up to $200 million annually. It's also an important step in normalizing trade relations with Japan. It was back in 2003 that Japan banned U.S. beef and beef products following the detection of an animal with mad cow disease in the United States. Moving on to state ag news, the Illinois State Fair is months away, and I had the chance to speak with Warren Goetsch, the Deputy Director of the Illinois Department of Agriculture. Here, Warren talks about the progress of construction on the Coliseum and also talks about updates to other ag facilities on the fairgrounds in Springfield.
Well, so far, so good. It's been a challenge this year, as you can imagine, especially when you're working on a structure like that. But the demolition is complete. The steel infrastructure is all but complete. And the decking is now going back on to allow us to shingle the roof. So things are proceeding very well. They're back on schedule, and we anticipate that the facility will be able to be open during this year's fair.
You've also gave a presentation on a few other buildings around the state fairgrounds that are also getting improvements and updates as well.
Yeah, certainly one of the things that I think the ag community will notice, the restrooms in the junior livestock building hopefully will be back open again after they were gone last year. We had some structural work that had to be done to the junior livestock building roof. That has been completed, and they're now doing the touch-up work on the inside, things that were damaged somewhat as they were doing shoring work. As they rebuilt that roof, you'll see some additions in terms of replacement of some lighting, fans in the swine barns. We will be putting a new roof on the dairy building. We will be starting replacing roofs on the 25 series barns, and there's also various architect and engineering kind of work being done now for other facilities, but the actual construction of which won't commence until sometime after the fair. But there's a lot of improvements going on. It's been a long time, but I think we are truly turning the corner, being able to stabilize and repair many of these historic buildings on the fairgrounds.
And again, that was Warren Goetsch, the Deputy Director of the Illinois Department of Agriculture. And in other state news, the National Weather Service wants you to be aware of the potential for severe weather tonight. Potentially severe storms with a chance of tornadoes are being forecast as a front approaches parts of Illinois late in the day, so you need to be aware of the changing weather conditions. Weather Spotter Training Coordinator John Nell says the more advance warning you have when the weather turns severe, the more prepared you can be. So now's the time to either create or assess your plan when severe weather strikes.
You need to do it at home, but also think about where you work. I mean, lots of folks, these things happen at 24 hours a day. Whether you're at home or at school or at church or at work or maybe on the road going somewhere, think about what you would do if there's a tornado in front of you or right behind you chasing you down the road. What are you going to do?
Nell reminds there are a number of different ways to receive weather warnings, including through a weather radio, notifications on your smartphone, and the local radio station. In some participating counties, you can download the Code Red app for your phone. And finally, on this Tuesday morning, in local news, the Litchfield FFA chapter will be having a half-off plant sale this evening from 3 to 5 at the greenhouse at the high school. Again, the Litchfield FFA will be holding a half-off plant sale this evening from 3 to 5 p.m. at the greenhouse at the high school. And for this Tuesday morning, May 21st, this has been Gabe Osborne reporting for WSMI Ag News.